Thanks.
KMOX is at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Now, here's your host, Mike Miller, on KMOX.
Yes, folks, good gardening. We are live and lively from the Shop and Save Florissant location, which is in the Flower Valley Shopping Center at the intersection of New Halls Ferry and Lindbergh. So what are we here for? Well, I'm going to be talking to a gentleman very soon, and he'll explain why they're here, why we're here, and all kinds of other things as well. Back in studio, you're going to find that Samantha's there and Greg's there. They're doing the producing. So when you call, they're going to ask you your name, where you're calling from. And then Ryan Schulte is here doing the engineering. And the second hour is the tip of the trowel hour, and I'm going to be giving the tip of the trowel in a few minutes. But thanks for having me on your show. And remember, if you were not there, I would not be here. So questions, comments, or concerns, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We can talk about your annuals. Your pansies should be absolutely spectacular right now. Your daffodils, your tulips, your crocus, your spring flowering bulbs, don't cut the foliage off those at all, but this is a good time to start fertilizing them, whether they're in flower or they've finished flowering. That's going to build the bulbs up for next year. Your edibles, your ground covers, like the lady said, she had ivy that just, this past winter just got wiped out. It was older and just couldn't take that really cold spell. How about your lawn? Your zoysias should be greening up just a little bit. Your fescues and bluegrasses should be really looking nice. Perennials, lots of perennials are pushing upwards. And your roses, as your roses, you see the new growth on your roses. Once the new growth gets about 2 inches, that's when you should be making the first application of rose food. Your shrubs, your trees, your vines, or your water gardens. But please remember, my answers, comments, and opinions are strictly offered as an option to help achieve you get to your goal, and by no means not the only garden path to take. I'm Mike Miller. I've been doing the Garden Hotline since 1994. I've written 5 gardening books. They're currently available at various locations, and also I write articles for the Missouri Gardener magazine. And if you're considering changes in your yard, your landscape, or you're just wondering what's going on, whether it's aesthetic or problem solving, I can come to your home and do what I call a walk and talk. You can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com, and on the homepage, there's my email address and phone number, and we can schedule a time where I'll be coming to your home. Today is tip of the trowel, special recognition, individual, group, or a situation that's made an impression on me is brought to you by St. Louis Composting. And today's tip of the trowel goes out for really kind of a unique, try to get these pages taken apart here. Nerve-wracking. Anyway, there's an organization here called Forest Relief of Missouri. They have planted just recently their 200,000, and they have a TH on the end, 200,000th, well, anyway. They have planted 200,000 trees since they've started. So this is Forest Relief of Missouri, and they're going to plant that 200,000th tree in Fairground Park in St. Louis, and it's going to be a bur oak, which is Quercus macrocarpa, be planted in the Forest Relief by the Forest Relief staff and neighborhood volunteers. They're also going to be planting 50 other trees in the park as well. So it's going to be a great time. This organization has done nothing but, it's a not-for-profit organization, and it's really dedicated to guiding and inspiring volunteer efforts in planting and caring for community trees and forests. They've been doing this since 1993, so the year before I started at KMOX. So just remember, if you want more information regarding this, you can call the phone number 314-533-5323, or you can go to www.forestkeepers.org, or you can go to info@moreleaf.org as well. So More Leaf means Missouri Relief. Very good. So Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline. We will be back after these messages.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller, sponsored by Allen's Tree Service on KMOX.
Yes, folks, we are live and lively from the Flower Valley Shopping Center, where the Boy Scouts and Mears Goodwill are collecting donations. So if you got things that you'd like to donate, just stop by. They've got Boy Scouts here to actually take it out of your car. So the effort is not much on your part other than getting the donations here, and both organizations will appreciate it. And joining me right now is John. Is it John Ott?
Adi.
Mm-hmm. So they actually pronounce the E on the end of it. Hey, I don't believe that.
At
you're
some point in time,
it's
probably a much longer German name, but you know, we'll go with Adi at this point.
So you look a little bit old to be a Boy Scout. You look like you should be an explorer.
Well, I've been in the Boy Scout program now off and on since I was probably the same age as my sons. So it'd probably be my 32nd year in the program now.
My goodness. Wow. So you should be an explorer.
I should be an explorer.
So tell me a little bit about how you guys got involved with Goodwill and this whole circumstance and everything else.
Absolutely. So we started about 2 years ago partnering with Goodwill. We work with them. They work with us. Pardon me. They work with us on scouting for food and give us signage and kind of help promote all the event. They help defray the cost of the bag and stuff like that. As a repayment, we work with them on Earth Day, collecting donations from the area.
So scouting for food, that's when the Boy Scouts drop bags, tie mm-hmm. them to your railings and things like that, and then come back and pick them up, I forget how many days later, a week later or something?
That's correct, and it's the biggest one-day food collection in all of St. Louis.
Oh, really?
It is.
Wow, that's impressive. So how long? You guys are going to be here for a couple more hours.
Yep.
And so I see
today.
Somebody carrying a pretty heavy bag over to the trailer. So, you know, this is just amazing how this thing is so well coordinated.
It is, and it's been great for us. We are really happy to partner with Goodwill. They've been amazing partners for us.
Well, that's great. Well, thanks, John. Ati.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Yeah. And let's go to the phones now. Let's go to Larry, and Larry lives in Ballin. Hi, Larry.
How's it going, Mike? I got
a simple
question for you. So a few years back, I planted a couple of forsythia bushes in my backyard. And the first year they bloomed, I maybe had 25 little buds on them. There's, I think, three of them. The second year they came up, maybe 25 buds. Is that making a picture for you? Matter of fact, they're blooming right now. I got maybe 25. What am I doing wrong, or what should I do, or should I quit?
Well, are you pruning?
No, they don't seem like they're big enough to prune.
So you're not pruning them at all or anything else?
So
the only thing I could think of, forsythia are pretty tough, that they may be in a situation, have they gotten any larger stem-wise and everything else? So you're saying they're not big enough to prune, so were they really small when you put them in?
Yeah, pretty small.
So it may be a maturity factor, but my guess is maybe the soil is really compacted around them, the classic, let's say, Ballin clay soil, and the root system's not been able to, let's say, grow out beyond the original hole. So you've basically bonesaid these, you know, forsythia. So what you could think about doing is maybe pulling them up, digging a hole, about three times bigger than what it is right now. And when you replant them, make sure the top of the root ball is about 20% above the surrounding ground.
Mm-hmm.
And just give them another shot.
What about fertilizer? Would that be any help?
Fertilizing would help some, but if fertilizer is not going to help if the, let's say, the hole is not right or everything else is not correct. So fertilizer is sort of like, you know, let's say putting makeup on or something like that, or putting gel in your hair so you can make a nice straight part. Okay. It's not really, you know, going to do that much. It's not going to make that much difference. Correct soil preparation and everything else and planting technique is going to be much more dramatic.
So when's the right time to do that?
Well, you know, really you should have done it already, but what you can do is, because the weather's still pretty cool, you can actually do it right now. If you want to go out, get it done within the next couple weeks so it can get settled in before the heat of the summertime comes around. Or if you want to, you can wait and do it, let's say, in early September, late August, sometime around that time.
Should I use just regular dirt, or should I use some special mix combination?
Well, you should probably get a sort of a blend of, let's say, compost and topsoil and mix it in with the existing soil. So that's going to be really important, to actually mix it in with it so the root systems can get a taste of what really is there, and then also get some improved soil in this mixture.
By the way, a couple of years ago, we bought some compost from the guys over in Valley Park.
Mm-hmm.
And the following year, we had a real problem. Wherever we put that compost down, there was weeds and things growing we never saw before. My
well,
wife,
maybe what it did.
My wife claims it came from the compost.
Well, my guess is you improved the soil so all these dormant weed seeds were there, all of a sudden went, yay, and they started growing.
Should the compost be sprayed with something like Roundup before you use it?
No. You don't need to do that. They test all this stuff. They test, you know, I mean, this is all done by professional laboratories as well as on-site.
Okay. I'll try some more and we'll replant those forsythias.
All right, great. Thanks,
Thank
Larry.
And much.
Now let's go to Joyce, and Joyce lives in Florissant. Hi, Joyce.
Hi, Mike. I have an easy question. It is, I have these holes in my backyard that are about the size of a silver dollar, and they go real deep.
Could be a couple different things. It could be. Are they out there right now?
Yep.
Or is it when the weather is a little bit warmer?
Nope. I've got holes everywhere.
So that's a little tough, because if it was a little bit earlier or a little bit later, what it is more than likely something like a grub emerging up out of the soil. But what also, so it's just holes. There's nothing, there's no soil or anything up on the surface of the ground.
Nope. It's just holes. And boy, if you put something in and it goes a long way.
Yeah, I'm confused by that, because I was thinking it was going to be the grubs emerging as beetles and things like that, but a size of a silver dollar. You have a lot of moles in your yard?
No.
No, no moles, no voles.
I have tree roots.
Tree roots, that's not going to, that shouldn't make holes. To be honest with you, I can't even make up, a guess. So,
okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. Thanks anyway.
Yeah, but what I would do is, you know, where the holes are, I would get some compost and backfill those holes.
Okay.
And just pour it right down in, because a silver dollar is a pretty, that's like almost an inch and a half across, so that's a pretty big
right.
hole. Yeah, so
and they're all over.
Really?
There's some that are, you know, a quarter size, and there's some that are a half dollar size.
That's you know, scary.
Yeah.
So don't ever invite me over to your house.
Okay.
Well, thanks. Sorry, I couldn't come up with anything. So now let's go to Swansea, and Chris lives in Swansea. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Happy Earth Day.
Well, same to you.
I just have a comment. So I always have trouble with my sprayers for the weed control, like Roundup and things. After a year or so, they get kind of clogged up or something. So I tried pouring some in a cup or a can and using an old scrub brush and scrubbing the weed with the Roundup,
mm-hmm.
and it worked really good. And I don't have to spray it. I can get it right on the weed that I want. And so anyway, it was just a suggestion.
Right. No, I recommend that a lot, because of the drift and everything else on the plant material. So I always say, like, use, you know, just, you know, put the Roundup or your herbicide in a bowl or a container. And what I say is basically use a paintbrush. So that's pretty much what you're recommending, too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks.
Well, thank you. Thanks for the idea. I appreciate your comments, because you can't beat success. Let's go to Gary's yard, and Gary lives in Eureka. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Mike. Hey, I had a question. I just have been trying to think of it for 3 weeks now, and could you give me the botanical name for a tree called American Plains tree? Would you know the botanical name for that?
American Plains tree, I'm thinking that's sycamore.
I think you're right. I just could not come up with that in my mind. And another question, when is the botanical garden? I called you a long time ago, and I wanted the bay leaf plant, like to take the leaves that you use in soup and stuff, and I know they don't
sure.
grow prevalently around here or anything like
right.
that. You have to take it in and out and you know, be careful with it and stuff, but when Does the Botanical Garden have that sale where I can go in and maybe purchase one of them from...
Well, it would be probably the St. Louis Herb Society, so you can go to the St. Louis Herb Society or go to their website, see when the Herb Society is going to have their sale. Also, the Webster Groves has an Herb Society. There's several Herb Societies, you know, throughout the entire region, so you can check that. And they may even have some of the, you know, they sell plants year-round. Whether they have the bay leaf plant, I don't know. But I would say just check with check their website and look for when the Herb Society is going to have their sale.
Okay, and the Alex Glavius, I never hear that mentioned too much anymore. Is that not recommended for planting around anymore? Or?
No, it really isn't. And the botanical name for the sycamore is Platanus, P-L-A-T-A-N-U-S.
Platanus.
Platanus,
oh.
P.
Oh, P.
You're right, P.
Okay, now the Alex Glavius, that's the inkberry, right?
Right. I mean, some people are using it, but for the most part, it doesn't have the aesthetic value. It's great for a low, you know, area where it's wet because it's native to the, let's say, the swamp areas of Missouri. But consequently, as it grows, it always, the bottom third of the plant loses all its leaves because it's just natural, you know, let's say, umbrella shape. So that's where it kind of lost its, let's say, popularity. It's still out there. You can still find it available. And let's say there's a few varieties that are a little bit, you know, smaller, so they don't look quite as rough. But I was just at a house this past, let's say, probably within the last week or so, and they had them planted along the foundation of their house. And, I mean, it's great. You know, the top, let's say, they were 3 feet high. The top 2 feet had leaves, but the bottom, you know, 1 foot just had nothing but sticks.
Yeah, darn, they're beautiful plants, especially the jade-colored ones, you know.
Right.
I think they got variegated ones now, too, I believe.
Yeah, those would probably be marginally hardy. But thanks, Gary. Greatly appreciate it. Yep, and Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with your host, Mike Miller, on KMOX.
Yes, folks, Earth Day donation drive at, what is it, 11 different Shop and Save stores and at the Family Arena in St. Charles. So there's Boy Scouts right here waiting to take the donations that you have, so you can just drive right up and stop your car, and they'll be coming right over and getting the things out of your car. And these donations are really, I mean, they really help MIRS goodwill. And it puts people to work. It really just helps all kinds of different circumstances. And the revenue from the sale of the donated goods advances Goodwill's mission on changing lives through the power of work. And it's just a great organization, both the Boy Scouts and MIRS Goodwill. And certainly they are thankful to Shop and Save for having the, guess what, donation sites in or near their store. So today, for another 10 minutes, a little 23 minutes, we're going to be here at the Flower Valley Shopping Center, which is in Florissant at the intersection of Lindbergh and New Halls Ferry. Let's go now to St. Charles and go into Frank's yard. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Mike. Hey, I was wondering, I got some leftover bulbs. Can I fool them by putting them in the refrigerator for a few weeks and then try planting them?
You could try it, but you're not going to get any flowers, more than likely. You may get some foliage.
Interesting.
So you may not even get any foliage, but generally that's what will happen. Because what happens is the root system won't get, you know, even if they've been chilled down, the root system won't get well established enough to be able to push out much growth. So whatever's, you know, however, let's say, strong the bulbs are, that's going to determine what they can do. And, you know, when the sequence that you're talking about, usually it's just foliage, and the foliage is not even going to be full size.
Okay. And then what if I did plant them, would they bloom next year?
It's hard to say, because sometimes, depending upon varieties and things like that, you know, especially if they're tulips, they really don't have much of a lifespan as far as longevity factor. So that's kind of, they may flower next year, but if they don't come up at all and you don't have the opportunity to fertilize them, my guess is they won't.
Okay.
And I mean, you could do it.
Yeah. What's a good ground cover for a shady spot under a tree?
So you want it one that's evergreen?
Yeah.
Okay, one that's evergreen, probably one of the, they're all going to be somewhat aggressive, but probably the periwinkle, the vinca, V-I-N-C-A, vinca minor, which has blue flowers on it in the springtime, and it grows fairly low, so in other words, like about an inch high. That would probably be the one I'd recommend for an evergreen type.
Okay, so it's vinca.
Yeah, V-I-N-C.
Was it under an evergreen? No, it's going to be under a maple tree.
It doesn't matter. I'm not talking about under an evergreen tree. I said, do you want an evergreen ground cover?
Gotcha. Thank you, sir.
Okay, great. Let's stay in St. Charles to save gas and go over to June's yard. Hi, June. Hello, June. Are you there?
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I have some preem. Is it too late to put that down on the weed with the little red flower on? I've got that weed everywhere.
Yeah, it's probably basically preem is a pre-emergent. So in other words, what it does is when the seeds are laying there on the ground, you put the preem over the top of the seeds, and when the seeds germinate, it kills it. But anything that's up and growing, it's not going to do a bit of good for that whatsoever.
So when would you put it on? Very early spring?
No, basically with the preem is, I'm assuming you're probably talking about the henbit. That stuff germinates in August.
Oh.
So in other words, you got to put the preem down at that time of year, so mid to late August. Then when the seeds will germinate within the next several weeks after that, then it'll kill those seeds at that point. So there's two different kinds of weeds. One's a cool season weed, one's a warm season weed. So the chickweed, the henbit, those type of things, the one with the small blue flowers, the Persian speedwell, those are ones that germinate in late August. So that's when you need to put the preem down at that time.
Well, let me ask you this. In late August, if I haven't pulled them up, they're still there. Just put it on top of them then?
These are, maybe I'm misunderstanding what kind of weed this is. A red-flowered weed?
Yeah. And it appeared just lately. And I noticed preem is sold in all the stores now, so I just wondered if it was too late to put it down.
Yeah, it's basically, by putting it down, you're going to get rid of, you're going to help control some of the warm season weeds that seeds are just germinating now.
I see. So best I dig it up and put it down, see what happens, huh?
Right, exactly.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, and if you've got this weed that's, is persistent throughout the entire year, then that's probably not an annual weed. Usually the cool season weeds, when the weather starts warming up by the end of, let's say, mid to late May, they disappear, but they've dropped seeds the whole time. And then those are the seeds I'm talking about that come up in August. The warm season weeds basically start coming up when the forsythia is in bloom. That's when the seeds start germinating. And then they go all the way up until the weather is colder. And that's, they can grow all the way up until October or so. So there's two different, types of seeds, cool season weeds and warm season weeds. So that's the basic difference. So thanks, June. And let's see if we can get another call in. Let's go to Gloria in Springfield, Illinois. Hi, Gloria.
Oh, good morning, Mike. How you doing?
Very good.
Okay, I have two quick questions. One, I bought pansies at the grocery store, and then I looked online at how to treat them so they stay alive. And sure enough, they're doing great. They're on pebbles, and I had a lot of flowers. Can I put them outside?
Sure. Yeah, they love it outside. They like the cool weather. Now, just understand pansies is a cool season annual. So when the weather starts warming up in June, they're pretty much going to just disappear.
Is it a perennial or an annual?
No, it's an annual.
An annual. Okay. And the second thing is I had my gardener put down pre-emergent. Does that mean I really shouldn't do any, try to grow any new grass until the fall?
It all depends on what type of pre-emergent you put down. Some of the pre-emergents, you can put the grass seed down, but, you've got to wait generally 2 to 4 weeks or a little bit longer, sometimes up to 8 weeks, depending upon, again, what type of pre-emergent it is. Because if you put the grass seed down and the pre-emergent is still, let's say, effective, it's just going to kill the grass seed as the grass seed germinates.
Well, do you think it's too late to put down grass seed?
No, if you're not going to put, I would not put a pre-emergent down this late.
Well, but he did it about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, You could fool with it. Find out what type he put down and ask, you know, tell him, find out, have him read the label and see, because they should put on the label, you know, how soon after the pre-emergent is put down that you can actually, you know, put grass seed down.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Mike. I enjoy your show.
Well, thanks.
Say, our show.
Yes, your show. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller, sponsored by Allen's Tree Service on KMOX.
Yes, folks, we're live and lively at the Earth Day Donation Drive here at the Flower Valley Shopping Center in Florissant. We're going to be here only for a few more minutes, but these guys are going to be here till 3 o'clock today. So if you'd like to stop by and donate either at this location or 10 different Shop and Save stores, why not? And you can also go to the St. Charles Family Arena as well, all the way till 3 o'clock. And the Goodwill and Boy Scouts both appreciate Shop and Save for hosting this donation. So if you're not exactly sure which stores, or parking lots or whatever, have the trailers pick up the stuff, well, you can go to their website and check it out, because they will have it there. So anyway, let's go to the phones now. Let's go to George, and George is in O'Fallon, Missouri. Hi, George.
Good morning, Mike.
Hi.
Hey, a few things. As far as holes in the yard, that could be squirrels.
Right. Somebody else said that.
Yeah. And then as far as... I started some plants from seed indoors and under grow lights right now.
Mm-hmm.
What is the optimal ground temperature that I could expect some growth out of them when I'm putting them out?
What kind of plants are they?
Zinnias, Mexican sunflowers, goldenrod, stuff like that.
Probably, you could probably stick them out, but they're not going to do much growth because the ground is still fairly cool. I would say if they're looking good, looking healthy and everything else, I'd keep him inside at least for another couple weeks.
What ground temperature would I be looking for?
Probably, let's say, mid-60s to 70.
Okay. And then I'm going to be able to harden them off, like, after work, a couple hours after work, maybe every evening. How long would you harden them off before you'd put them in?
I would probably do it, it's probably not all that important. As long as the ground temperature is correct and you're getting them in a good location, I wouldn't worry too much about doing that. So, I mean, I know I tell people don't put them directly in the sun, but put them in the part shade for probably, a couple days, and then, and then bring them back inside, so they're, or just leave them outside in the part shade for probably a week or so.
Okay, very good. Thanks, sir.
Yep. And now let's go to Crestwood and, Mary's yard.
Wondering about your thoughts on a serviceberry bush or tree. I can't tell if they're trees or bushes.
There's two different plants. There's one that's a tree, so a single trunk, and there's one that has multiple stems coming up out of the ground.
Okay. So do you love it?
I think it's great.
Okay.
Multiple seasonal appeal. It has the flowers before the dogwood in the springtime. It has, nice after those flowers turn into red berries, and then it has great fall color as well.
Okay, and I don't think that squirrels, if those holes are so deep, maybe a vole, E-O-L-E.
Right. That's why I couldn't come up with anything, because she said the holes were a foot deep.
Yeah,
I mean, that's pretty darn. Usually squirrels go down about 3 inches at the most.
That's right. So, and can I trim my maple tree and my rising sun now, or should I wait a bit?
No, probably the maples are best pruned in the summertime versus this time of year or in the fall.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, that's all the maple trees. They seem to work better when they're pruned at that time of year. So thank you, and let's go now to Columbia, Illinois, and that's Marjorie. Marjorie, how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you? I'm
very
so
good.
Glad to be on our show. My friend in Waterloo has about 3 acres of land, and he planted two red maples last year. Now, we can see that there's a deer path, and he had nursed them along in the pots and kept them in the shade, and then he put them out in the fall, and during the deer ate the bark off of them, and we think they're dead. They just killed them. The bark is just gone. Anyway, so now he's bought two red oaks, and he plans to pull up those maples and put the oaks in. What can he do to protect him from the deer?
Physical barrier, that would be one of the things. So in other words, put a really strong fence around it, also using some of the repellents. But this is really a difficult circumstance because depending upon how, you know, how bad the winter actually is, the deer are going to get desperate for, you know, for chewing on things, and they're going to go after things because the smaller trees, the bark doesn't have texture like on the larger trees. That's why they don't go after larger mature trees all that much. They go back, they go after smaller trees that have smoother bark or other trees that even at a mature size have smoother bark.
Okay, well, these would be oaks then. Would they probably, they would probably be a little bit more difficult for the deer. If you can, you wrap something around the trees, I mean around the bark,
well,
keep them
so
on,
are they
tar substance or something?
So is this are they just, are they rubbing their antlers on it, or are they actually eating?
No, I think they're eating it. I mean, he
okay,
said
so,
they just stripped it.
Okay, so if they're stripping it, what he could do is get like black corrugated, you know, pipe, like plumber's pipe, split it down, get like 3 or 4 feet, however long the trunk is, 3 or 4 feet of that, split it and put it around the trunk.
Okay, good farmers. Okay, like you put on the outside of a house to extend the water away from the house.
Exactly, right.
That kind of stuff.
The flexible black pipe.
And put that around the trunk.
Right.
Okay, you think that'll pretty much do it?
Well, it should. I mean, they'd have to eat through the plastic of the pipe to get to the bark.
Right, that's true. And then what would you do where you split it? Would you tape that back up with something?
No, just leave it alone because you pull it apart after you split it, and you pull it apart, put it around the trunk, and it has the flexibility that it's just going to close up on its own.
It's going to close up on its own. Okay,
yep.
And that ought to do it. If you put it down real low into the ground and then put it, make sure it comes up pretty much almost to where the branches come out, right?
Right, exactly. That's
okay.
About all you're going to be able to do.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mike. Thank you very much.
Sure. Let's go on now to DeSoto, and that's Vernon's yard. Hi, Vernon.
Hi. I've got a couple of questions. One, I've been able to get to some decomposed tree shreddings and such as that. Does that make good compost? And also on the nitrogen application when you're putting it down when it's on a label and stuff, is that for the year or for each application?
So it depends upon, you know, as far as the nitrogen, so in other words, you're having a soil test done. Is that why you're asking about the nitrogen?
I had one done, and I was wondering how much to put down each time, and we needed some applications of different things.
Well, the nitrogen only stays in the soil for a few days, so just on a routine basis, put the nitrogen down because that's your soil test will never indicate there's any nitrogen there because after a few days, it becomes a gas and goes up into the air. So that's
okay.
Why your soil test always indicates there's never any nitrogen.
Okay.
And what was your, I forget what your first question was?
Tree trimmer, where they drop it and then they let it decompose, is that decent compost?
No, that's not compost. That's okay for mulch, but it's not a good compost necessarily, especially unless it's totally, you know, biodegraded, because if you put bark down into the ground as a compost, it really dehydrates the soil and could cause you some real problems. Your plant material.
It's been down several years.
Okay, then it probably is okay. I would, you know, you could mix it in with your soil.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep, and thanks to everybody for calling in, and I want to thank the folks here at the Flower Valley Shopping Center. I want to thank the Boy Scouts. I want to thank Goodwill as well. And again, you've got till 3 o'clock today to drop off your donations here. So not just this location, there's 10 other, you know, Shop and Save stores that are doing this, as well as the Family Arena in St. Charles. So, wow, great day. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline. See you next week.